Vanessa Sifiwe. And so today I begin it off, and we are saying this month we want to focus on missions, and our mission, our title, the title we are going to move with, the theme we are going to move with is a church on a mission. We are a church on a mission. And if you didn't know that the Bible Way Ministry family believes strongly in missions. Actually, one of our core values is missions and evangelism. Our belief in missions has been reflected in our giving towards missions, like you have heard, but we have also given towards establishing and supporting churches in the unreached regions within and outside of our nation. You say outside of our nation? Yes. In 1998, we sent a missionary to Rwanda. That is after when they were coming out of the genocide. We sent a family to Rwanda, and they were there for 2 good years, being supported fully by the Bible Way Ministry, then Mombasa Pentecostal Church. And also, we support other organizations that are doing missions. And we address other social needs among them. Like you have heard, we have not only missionary pastors serving, especially in Kwale, we have a missionary pastor among the Digos and the Druma people of Kwale, but we also have a mission school, normally known as Mwangaza Vision, Visionary School. And on Friday, I was amazed to learn that to be reminded that this school has been in operation for 21 good years. For 21 years, it has not been supported by TSC or by the government, but it has been fully funded by the gracious contribution of God's people from amongst us and friends of Mwangaza. Hallelujah. We also have medical camps where we take medicine to people who need it most in the interior parts of our region. We have street ministry. If you have been in our church in Central on Sunday, you will see how street families come into the church and they are fed, they are dressed, they are washed, and medics are there to minister to them and they, you know, treat them that are sick. All this courtesy of the sacrificial giving of God's people. And so I will not be wrong to say that we are a church on a mission. Hallelujah. In our vision, we want to contribute towards the Great Commission. We will not be able to finish it by ourselves, but we want to do our part. We all know the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew 28:19. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He said, "Go therefore." Those are the last words of Jesus Christ to his disciples. And we know that last words of anybody are very important. We always want to hear, what did he say? What was the last thing he said? The last thing that Jesus said is, "Go." And what are you going to go and do? Make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. So today, to start us off, I want us to focus on God's sovereignty being missions fuel. God's sovereignty is missions fuel. After Jesus' resurrection, he sought to communicate about eternal kingdom matters to his disciples. But they were thinking about earthly things, earthly kingdom, the establishment of Israel as a kingdom. You'll find that in the book of Acts chapter 1. When he met them in Galilee, remember after the resurrection, he met them in Galilee, and he was giving them the last word, telling them of what they are going to do. But these people, their mind was so much about earth that they asked him, "Now that you have resurrected, now that you are alive, Are you at this time going to establish the kingdom of Israel? It is to this question that Jesus responded. If you can read with me. It is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. These people were so concerned about what's going to happen now. What are you going to do right now? And their mind was on the establishment of the kingdom here on earth, where they will be kings and rulers here on earth, where they will have liberty and freedom here on earth, where they will be in charge of themselves and chase away the Roman people. But Jesus, by this statement, he sought actually to change their focus and point out to them what was priority. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. He pointed out to them, it is not for you. But then he continues to say, but you will receive power when the Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem. Or you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So here Jesus changes their focus from the here and now and shows them that which is priority, that is missions. I want to bring it to us, children of God, and say that like the disciples, we may be having areas that we feel are more important to us. Things that we feel are of importance, that we feel that we should focus on them. Even us as a church, we can have, you know, going home as the need. When are we going to move? When is this going to be happening? When are we going to have this? You know, Lord, when will you bless me with my own house? Lord, when will you bless me with a car? Lord, when will you bless me with a husband or a wife? Lord, when will you? At what time? When are you going to do this? And Jesus, I believe, will speak to us what he said to the disciples. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has set. But there is priority. There is something that you should be doing rather than worrying when. Hello? Sometimes we get, when is Jesus going to come? He says it's not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has set. But you shall receive power and be my witnesses. And so Jesus will return our focus to missions, just like he did the disciples, because missions was and still remains to be the priority of Jesus' disciples. Hallelujah. Missions was and still remains to be the priority for the people of God. I want to define for us the word missions. I hope you are able to read up there. Are you seeing those smart guys down there? Those are our kids from the Mwangaza school. Yes, that is the uniform of our Mwangaza school, and the building behind is actually one of the classes in Mwangaza school. And so, read with me what missions is. Missions is any endeavor aimed toward the goal of reaching beyond the needs of the local congregation. Beyond the needs of a local congregation. We have needs as a local congregation. You have needs as an individual. It is very easy for us to get lost in meeting our internal needs, focusing on our own personal needs as individuals and as a congregation, kudumiana, making sure that we have tea and mamri every Sunday. You know? Looking at who has gotten tea and who has not gotten tea, who has not been visited, who has been visited. But missions is beyond looking, or it's an endeavor that aimed toward the goal of reaching beyond the needs of the local congregation. Yes, let's continue. For the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. By proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, making disciples, and relating to the whole need of mankind, both spiritual and physical. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. And that's exactly what we are doing in Mwangaza. In Mwangaza, we have Pastor Joshua, who shared with me on Friday that he's having morning devotion with the kids every day of the week as they come to church. In the morning, they begin with the devotions. And so be sure that these kids are getting the gospel. And by the way, another exciting thing to do is one of the initial kids who came to that school, those who began with, is now a teacher, a fully trained teacher in Mwangaza School. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. And she's born again. She loves the Lord. And she's actually very instrumental in the running of the church that is in Mwangaza. And so we are saying that this is what missions is. You are taking the gospel, but you are also meeting the need of those people. And so the gospel has reached us, reached you and me, because since its inception, there have been people who have had a rock solid confidence in the sovereignty of God over all things. If you think about how the gospel has reached us, we are here comfortable, enjoying our relationship with the Lord. But there are people over the centuries who believed, who had great confidence in the sovereignty of God, that they were willing to do anything to pass this message across to the next generation. Hallelujah. You can imagine the missionaries who left the comfort of their homes to travel to Africa, a place that they didn't know, and some of them lived in very deplorable situations in order to share with us the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you before, and I think I'll repeat, that in my family tree, I am the first person to be born again. Meaning my grandfather, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, they had not heard about the gospel. Or they never had a chance to hear the gospel and to respond to it. But here I am as a first-generation believer, because somebody sacrificed. Because they believed in the sovereignty of God, and they were willing to sacrifice, to do what it takes to make sure that the gospel reaches me. How grateful should I be? They understood, those people understood the priority of missions. And I want to say, children of God, that a proper view of divine sovereignty fuels a high level commitment to missions. To the extent that we are not only willing to live for missions, but we will be willing to die on missions. When we have a proper view of God's sovereignty, it will fuel a high level commitment to missions. To the extent that we will not only be willing to live on mission, but we will be willing to die on mission. It's not new. There are so many people who have died for this gospel. People who have given everything, given of themselves. We have read of people who have died because of their endeavor to ensure that this gospel torch moves to the next generation. Why? Because they had a high view of God. You think about Stephen in the Bible, when he was being stoned for his testimony of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that instead of looking at the stones, he lifted his eyes and they saw Christ standing on the right hand of God the Father. And of course, we may think about Stephen and think he on Yakitambo. But there is news in our generation and the time that tells us that the church, Christians, are the most persecuted group around the globe as we talk. That as we talk, there are people who are dying for the sake of the gospel. There are people who are being killed, especially in the Muslim states. In India, just the other week, in India, there are people who have been massacred. Why? Because of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are asked to deny the Lord, deny Jesus, become an Hindu, and you will be spared. But there are people who have given their lives. Hallelujah. Why? Because they have a proper view of the divine sovereignty of our living God. That they are willing not only to live on mission, but they are willing to die for this mission. And so that's why I want us to look a little bit about God's sovereignty. Maybe if by the grace of God, God can help us to have a little knowledge or grasp a little bit about God's sovereignty, it can fuel our commitment to missions. If we are not yet on mission, then it's as if we were. And we are going to stay a little longer on Revelation chapter 5. If you can open your Bible to Revelation chapter 5. That's where we are going to stay for a long time. I know we don't preach a lot from Revelation. And even many of us don't do devotions from Revelation. Isn't it? But I pray that the Spirit of the living God will open our eyes and understanding to get something from this chapter, chapter 5 of Revelation, that can reveal to us a number of truths, especially God's sovereignty. So God is sovereign. Read with me Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated, wow, okay, amen. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Now, when you read that casually, it may not mean much. But we need to understand that this is John the Apostle while in the island Patmos, where he had been thrown, left to die because of his witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his vision, he sees in the right hand of him who is seated on the throne, he sees a scroll. By just saying the right hand, of course here, the right hand is the strong hand. It's the hand of strength. It's the hand of power. And so John is not seeing this scroll on a weak hand, but he's seeing it on the hand of power. He's seeing it on the strong hand. And it's not just a strong hand of anybody, but he's seeing on a strong hand of one who is seated. By sitting, it signifies control. It signifies authority. It signifies rest. It's not signifying somebody who is frustrated or somebody who is anxious, somebody who is not knowing what to do or wondering, but is somebody seated. Are you understanding? And so the one who is holding it on the right hand of God, on his right hand, is seated. And he's not just seated. He is seated on a throne. Banasifewe. Signifies kingdom, power, rulership. And so this is the one who is seated, holding the scroll in his hand. He is the sovereign God. He is in charge. Hallelujah. He is the sovereign God. Somebody by the name of A.W. Tozer has written something and said, Almighty God, just because he is almighty, needs no support. Please tell your neighbor for me. Almighty God, just because he is almighty, he needs no support. Just because he's almighty, he needs no support. He needs no help. He is God by himself and he needs no help. That's why he's not anxious. He's seated in control and in charge. Unfortunately, most of us do not have that view of God. We often think of him as a desperate old man needing our help. He needs our money. He needs our time. He needs our effort to accomplish anything here on earth. Maybe that view has been fueled or cemented by the desperate pleas that are made at the church pulpit seeking help of some sort. But child of God, I want you to know that the fact that Pastor Flora stands up and says, give please towards this cause, it does not mean that God is helpless. Pastor Flora needs help, but not God. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. A church organization may need help, but not God. And if we should think that God is so desperate in need of us in order for him to accomplish anything here on earth, we are wrong. Because he is God by himself. He needs nobody's help. Hallelujah. 20th century Christianity has put God on charity. So lofty is our opinion of ourselves that we find it quite easy and even enjoyable to believe that we are very necessary to God. There's a sense of importance that we carry about, especially if we are gifted or endowed in some way. You know where you say, they can't do anything without me. Yeah? Nothing. In that church, nothing can go on if I'm not there. Yeah? Have you met people with that attitude? Yes. They may not say so, but they will act in a manner to suggest that that's how it is. Especially if they are gifted and they know you depend on them. I've seen it a lot with musicians, people who play instruments. No. I've seen it with preachers who have such a sense of importance that when they show up, you must stand up. And they have a peacock look. You know, like, who is my equal? I pray that God may help us. Probably the hardest thought of all for us to entertain is that God does not need your help. Please tell your neighbor for me, God does not need your help. God is God by himself. He's sovereign. He's self-sufficient and self-reliant. When he gives you an opportunity to do anything in his kingdom, you should be thankful. And you should do it with so much humility. It is an honor. Hallelujah. And so, one theological truth that needs to sink deep in our hearts today as we consider missions this month is this. Please read out with me. Our sovereign God holds the destiny of the world in the palm of his hand. You know, as we think about missions, God knows the destiny of every human being on the face of the earth, and he holds it in his hand. The 24 elders know this, and day and night they cast their crowns before God and worship at his feet, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Believe you me, these 24 elders, they cast their crowns, their golden crowns. They don't stand like peacocks to say, "I'm too important. No, I can't do that. That's not for somebody of my caliber." Yeah. They understand that worthy is he alone to receive glory and honor and power, for he created all things, and by his will they exist and they were created. Point number three, or number two. The first one was an introduction. The second one was God is sovereign. Number three, man is utterly hopeless before the sovereign God. Now, before I explain this point, when we talk about John saw in the right hand of him who seated on the throne a scroll that was sealed, we need to understand what that may have meant. Now, the procedure and the practice of sealing a scroll seven times was often used in property foreclosures. In areas where somebody has a debt that they can't pay, their property was taken, and their title deed was, something was written that showed that these people had debts that they couldn't pay, and so their property was taken from them. When a Jewish family fell on hard times, they were required to forfeit their land. And according to the Jewish law, their property could not be taken from them permanently. And so their losses, the losses they had encountered, were listed in a scroll that was sealed 7 times. And the conditions for getting back their land were written on the outside of the scroll. Then, when a qualified person could be found, or a redeemer could be found, when someone was found who could meet the conditions listed on the backside of the scroll, then they alone had the authority to break the seals, to open the scroll, and at that time, the property had to be returned to the original owner. And so all the Bible scholars, when they read this chapter 5 of Revelations, they agree that this scroll that was in the right hand of one seated on the throne represents the title deed to the earth. It was the title deed to creation. I hope you all remember that the earth and the world that God created was man's original inheritance. And God placed man in the Garden of Eden and said, I give you dominion over the earth. Man had delegated authority and was the delegated ruler of planet earth. But when man chose sin, he forfeited the title deed to this earth. Satan took it. Or rather, the earth went to Satan as the ruler. That's when the foreclosure took place. The archenemy of God, Satan, legally took over the dominion of this earth. And that's why the Bible calls him the prince of this world. And that's why he had the audacity to tempt Jesus and say, worship me, and I will give you all the dominions of the earth. Because he was the bona fide ruler. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. And so I needed you to understand that so that you may see verse 2 of chapter 5, Revelation. Read with me. This is John reporting. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. As I've said, the scroll contains the grand purpose of God in the world. The scroll contains the title deed to the earth. And John says that when an angel came out asking, who is worthy? Anybody, somebody, come forth and open this scroll. There is no one in heaven or earth that was worthy. There was no priest, no religious leader. No one was worthy to open the scroll and break its seals or even look at it. Not even Abraham, not even Moses, not even Elijah, not any of the prophets of old was able to step forward. And I want to believe it is not that they were not willing. It's not because of their unwillingness, but because nobody was worthy. The silence of heaven testifies to the sinfulness of man. And John knew what this meant. That if this scroll was not opened, there will never be restoration. You understand why he began to weep uncontrollably, loudly, because he understood what that signified. That the glory of the Lord will never be restored back to earth. That man will never get back the earth as a ruler. That John's suffering on the Patmos island was in vain. This hopeless situation disturbed John, that he wept loudly at the thought that all God created will forever remain in the hands of Satan. And that man is doomed and utterly hopeless and helpless, held as a slave to sin and death by Satan, the prince of this world. Meaning, man is destined for hell. And we may never be able in this world to understand what hell means. Because sometimes we say, I've had a hell of a time. You say, to hell with you. To hell with this thing. Because we don't have the concept of what actually hell is. John Whitefield describes hell this way. The torment of burning like a livid coal, not for an instant or for a day, but for millions and millions of ages, at the end of which souls will realize that they are no closer to the end than when they first began, and they will never ever be delivered from that place. Now you understand why John began to weep uncontrollably, that there was nobody to open the scroll. Children of God, all people, even those to whom the gospel has not been preached, will not escape from the wrath of God. And they cannot say that they did not hear the gospel. Nobody can say they are innocent. We did not know God. Why? Because the truth is, they have all heard and seen God. Many times we talk about unreached peoples. People have never heard the gospel. Yes, they may never have heard the gospel, but there's nobody who doesn't know that there's God. Look at what the Bible says in Romans 1, 18, 23. Read with me. What may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made, so that man are without excuse. They became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like birds and animals and reptiles. So God has revealed himself through the visible and invisible things that he has created. And so there is no innocent person in the whole wide world. They are all guilty because God and before God, and thus they need the gospel. Everybody needs the gospel. Hallelujah. There are billions of people in the world at this moment whose knowledge of God is only sufficient to condemn them to hell. Some are our neighbors. Others are our workmates. Others are our relatives. What do we do with that? Hello? But there is hope. I realize all of you have started to weep like John, mourning that there is no hope, but there is hope. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ is man's only hope. Hallelujah. Amen. There is hope. So while John was weeping, Revelation 5:5, read with me. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and it is seven seals." What a good news. This is the best news. This is the greatest news in the world. This week, as Kenyans, we had two great news. Hallelujah. One of the great news, the good news, is when that vehicle was lifted out of the Indian Ocean. Hallelujah. As it was lifted, those of us who saw it first, we were calling people and saying, "Umeona?" Because it was good news. All of us Kenyans, our hearts had been troubled. I was saying that I couldn't imagine myself crossing Likoni Ferry thinking that that mother and daughter are trapped down there. It was a relief. Good news to me as a person. And good news to all of us. So we kept calling one another, writing on Facebook, on Twitter, and saying, finally, the good news. And then the other good news, we were all holding our hearts for Eliud Kipchoge. We were waiting. And as he was doing the last 5 kilometers, my heart was pacing. I couldn't wait. At one time he dropped the seconds that he was ahead by. He had dropped them to 9 from 10. And I was like, oh no, God. I prayed for him and even spoke in tongues. Praying that God will energize him and strengthen him. Praise the name of the Lord. And when he crossed that line, you should have seen me. And of course, there are people at the call, Umeona. It was good news. But also John received good news. Hallelujah. That the slaughtered Lamb of God reigns as sovereign Lord of all. And he is man's only hope. He's the only qualified. He's the only worthy one. He's the only strong enough. That's why he's told the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Lion is a symbol of dignity, a symbol of victory, a symbol of power, a symbol of courage. Hallelujah. This is the one who was promised centuries ago to patriarchs of old. We find the Lion of Judah promised in Genesis 49:10, that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, to whom shall be the obedience of the peoples. Promised also as the root of David in Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 2 and 11, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and he will stand as a signal for the peoples. And elsewhere in Jeremiah 23, verse 5, he says, I will raise up, declares the sovereign Lord, for David a righteous branch, and they shall reign as king. And so he's told, weep no more, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, has triumphed. There is good news. Book of Philippians chapter 2, 8 to 9, I don't have it up there. The Bible says Jesus was obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. He is the only hope to man. There was none found in heaven or on earth. So no other person, no other way. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. Anybody following any other way, they are doomed. I pray that God will help us to understand that. Number 4, the atonement of Christ is graciously and gloriously for all people. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Is graciously and gloriously for all people. I thank God that he's not partisan. Many people say, oh, huyo ni Mungu wa Waisraeli, sisi wa Afrika pia tuna Mungu wetu. Have you heard people give that kind of argument? Or sometimes we look at some people and we feel that this is for them, us versus them. We are Christians. They are. You understand that the atonement of Christ is graciously and gloriously for all people. Read with me Revelation 5, 8 to 10. 4 living creatures and 24 elders fell down and they sang a new song saying, hallelujah. Just a moment. They sang a new song. When this lamb stepped forward to take the scroll, finally, there was a new song. And what is this new song? Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open it its seals. Why? For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed or purchased people for God. From where? From every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and a priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah! The rulership had been taken away from our father Adam. But now, because of this slain Lamb of God that has conquered, He has taken the scroll to break it His seals so that the rulership may come back to us. Hallelujah. And so that's why they are saying now they will reign on the earth. If you can read with me, Ephesians 1, 4 to 11. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, is saying, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has chosen you in Him before the foundations of the world, that you should be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined you to be adopted as His Son through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in Him. In Him, you have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of your trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on you according to His purpose. In Him, you have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Children of God, God is a missionary God, and He has already purposed that people will know Him. Whether you go or you don't. Those that God has already predestined, if we don't tell them, if we don't go, He may send help from elsewhere, but we will miss the opportunity of partnering with God. That's what I'm saying, children of God. That God knows and He wants a number of people to be reached, even among us, those tribes or those peoples that you think they are against the gospel. God has His people there that He has already predestined. So our commission is to make disciples of all the nations, of all the peoples, and yet we have people in our neighborhoods who are not yet reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we become so busy looking inside, instead of reaching out, we miss the point. But if we believe that Jesus died to purchase people from every tribe, every tongue and nation, then we must go to every tribe, every tongue and nation with the sole purpose of bringing glory to our King. Are you following me, children of God? There is nobody who is excluded from this grand plan of God. Sometimes we look at some people and we don't even dare tell them the good news. Everybody needs to hear this good news. Despite of what they believe or where they go. Starting with the nation that sits at our entrance. Starting with that tribe that sits at our entrance. Many times we pass them like glass doors. Hallelujah. Our sovereign God deserves the praise of not just a few people, but of all people. In the morning, I was telling the first service, what prevented you from being a Hindu? What prevented you from being a Muslim? You know you could be. Isn't that true? So this salvation, it is by grace that we have been saved. That the gospel reached us because somebody sacrificed. Somebody took it upon himself to ensure that we hear the gospel. What are we doing with it? So that it becomes ours for possession. We need also to endeavor that somebody else hears it. Hallelujah. And so our sovereign God deserves the praise of not just up country people. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Deserves the praise not just of up country people. Deserves the praise of all people from every tribe, every tongue, every group of people in every nation. And may we all be driven by the desire to see every person purchased by Christ and exalting Him. Hallelujah. Our time is much spent, but let me quickly share one or two things. What should we do as a church on a mission? This month our focus is on mission. And so I want to encourage you what we are going to do. Number one, we are going to pray confidently for the spread of the gospel to all people. Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed as testimony to all nations and then the end will come. So if Jesus has not come, it means that the gospel has not been proclaimed to all nations. As long as Jesus has not yet come, we have a task to do. We have a responsibility. So this month, can you promise me that you are going to take time to pray for the spread of the gospel? Pray for those who are in the mission field. Pray for the people who are sharing the gospel to the unreached peoples. Some of them you know, some you may not know. Pray for the people around Bamburi. Pray that the gospel will be spread, that everybody will have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Let's pray for people who are lost. People have not yet known Christ. Some of them are our family members. Some are our neighbors. Let's pray this month for the spread of the gospel. Number two, we will need to give sacrificially. Please tell your neighbor, give sacrificially for the spread of the gospel. Yeah, the gospel needs money. And in this, I want to challenge. Some of you didn't give anything towards Mwangaza. Plan to give. Uzikae tu useme few imeisha, imepita na hakuna mtu aliniona. Hello? The gospel needs to be preached in Mwangaza. For those kids to have devotion every morning with Pastor Joshua, they have to come to school. And for them to come to school, there must be teachers. And those teachers need to eat. Hello? So plan this month of missions. Plan to give sacrificially towards missions. Say, this one I'm giving towards missions. And let it be a sacrificial giving. Somebody gave for the gospel to reach you. Even for us as a church, by the way, it's good to let you know that we have many needs as a church. We need to go home. We are looking for ways of going home. But we felt as a leadership, it's important that we give to missions. And so that's why, as a leadership, we consulted and we gave a certain amount towards the Mwangaza mission. We are not saying we have so many needs. Oh, mpaka tupike chai, unachua pesa ya chai, unachua. Hello? We have to do it sacrificially, knowing that mission is a priority. Yes, going home is a need, but mission is a priority. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Number three, we need to go intentionally to all peoples. This month, I want you to purpose to share the gospel to somebody. One or two people, take a step of faith and go intentionally. Start with a mission in your house, next door. But again, even as a church, we have to purpose to go intentionally to reach out. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Of course, starting Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the whole world. And lastly, we have to be willing to die. Be ready to die willingly for the gospel. Yes, be willing to die for the gospel. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. This gospel, I said, men and women have shed blood for it. Don't be afraid of death. Let's be ready and be willing. Say, Lord, I know I was reading the Bible and I found out a scripture that at the altar, under the altar, there are souls of those who were killed for the gospel, the martyrs. And they were asking God, until when, oh God, for you to revenge for our blood? And the Bible says that they were given, the angel gave them white robes. And they told them, there are still others who need to be killed for the gospel until the number is accomplished. And then God will avenge. Meaning there are others. It could be me. It could be you. When I saw fear, there are people dying for the gospel. We need to be ready. Many times our fear, the devil uses fear to intimidate us, to hinder us from sharing the gospel. Some people are so aggressive against the gospel that they intimidate us.
Bwana Yesu asifiwe. We need to come up and say we are willing not only to live for this gospel, but to die for it. Hallelujah. Knowing that nobody can kill you if God has not allowed them, because God is sovereign. There's nothing that happens without this knowledge. Hallelujah. And so, be ready to die. Maybe the way we need to die, where we need to start, is dying to self. Dying to a whole lot of things. To our own ambitions and dreams. There are some of you listening to me. God is calling you to go into a mission field, or to serve God in some remote area, or to serve God amongst the people who are even hostile to the gospel. And you will say, no, I'd rather give. No, be willing. You need to die to your own dreams and say, no, but I can't. You know, that place, remote places, no. You need to be ready. I pray and desire that God will raise men and women from amongst us who will say, I'm willing to go. Ama, you think God stopped sending missionaries? God stopped sending people. God will speak to you. Some of you, God is speaking to you and has been speaking to you about launching by faith into serving God even full time. And you have been resisting. As your pastor, I want to partner with you to see you step out in faith and trust God, dying to your own self for the sake of the gospel. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I desire, Brother Maura, I want to trust God that God will give us young people to send to Bible school from Bamburi. Don't wait until you... Let me not go there. Hello? Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Let me say, children of God, if you can read with me, that statement is very crucial. If you can go home with that one alone. A high view of God's sovereignty fuels death divine devotion to missions. Can you read it out with me? A high view of God's sovereignty fuels death divine devotion to missions. The reason why we are wishy-washy about missions, about going, about giving, about serving, is because we've not gotten a proper view of God's sovereignty. When we do, it will fuel a dead divine devotion to missions. And let us believe deeply, as I come to the conclusion, let us believe deeply in the sovereign God of the universe, who holds the destiny of the world and indeed our lives at the palm of his hand. Let us see the hopeless state of man before God apart from Christ. When you look at men and women around you who don't know Christ, think about how lost and how hopeless they are. Think about hell and the hellfire that never goes off, and be moved with compassion and love for their souls. And let us pray, let us give, and let us go to all people with the greatest news in all the world, that the Lamb of God has conquered, has broken the seals, has opened the scroll. He has purchased and ransomed us, people of all tribes, of all languages and nations and races, and made us priests and the kings unto our God, and we shall reign on the earth. We have been saved by a graciously, globally, gloriously particular sacrifice. So let us give our lives. Let us even lose them if necessary for the advancement of Christ's kingdom and the accomplishment of Christ's commission. I pray that we will stop at nothing until the slaughtered Lamb of God and the sovereign Lord receives the full reward of his sufferings. May we stop at nothing, children of God. May we be a church on a mission. That wherever you find yourself, wherever you are, we are on a mission 24/7. We are either praying, we are all giving, we are talking to people, we are ready. Mungu akisema, anataka kukutuma kwa wabajuni. May you be saying, yes, Lord. One of us right now is in Somalia. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. And so, wherever God will send us, let's not be afraid. We have a sovereign God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you and we bless you. We honor you and lift up your name. Thank you that you are a missionary God. That you have a mission heart, oh God. You have a heart for missions. And that's what you have done from the very beginning. When you created Adam and Eve, you wanted them to share in your glory. You wanted to bring them near to you. But then they fell. And Lord, you came down during Noah, wanting to redeem mankind and beginning afresh and build a generation of people who will show forth your glory on earth. But again, man continued going the wrong direction until you picked Abraham and said you will make a nation from him that will show your glory on the earth and teach people to worship and honor you. Israel failed time and again, and many at the time you sent prophets to speak to Israel about turning back to you, until you sent Jesus Christ, your son, came down to prepare people who will bring forth your kingdom on earth and represent you. And we are that kingdom, we are that people. May you help us, oh God, that wherever we are, we will realize that we are ambassadors of Christ. We are representatives of our kingdom, and we are on a mission. Help us, O Lord, that we'll carry out this mission in a way that will honor you until the slaughtered Lamb of God receives a full reward for his suffering. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.